25, and yeah, we want to celebrate that with you guys again.
Happy anniversary, guys.
Almost anniversary.
Happy anniversaries.
And thank you so much for listening today. We'll see you next week.
Guys.
Come to prom. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah.
I'm Hi, Axel.
Bye.
I'm Benji.
Bye. Angelo.
And we are
La Mezcla.
La Mezcla.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Have a great time.
Bye. Listen to Steven.
Join me on, I'm very you. Join me on, I'm very you.
You're listening to WMUC-FM College Park 90.5. This is Moral Hazard on said radio station. We hope you're having a wonderful week, a wonderful past 2 weeks. Wasn't here last week. That's okay. I mean, did you miss me? I know you did. You gotta have... Everyone needs their weekly dose of distractions, right? Business distractions. You're not a businessman. Maybe you own like a small business. You're not paying attention to the markets. You don't need to pay attention to the markets, but you do anyways. Most likely you're an employee and you're a small scale employee. What happens in the world affects you, but you have nothing to do about it because you don't live in a swing state and nothing actually matters to you. But you're still here. You're listening to Moral Hazard on WMUC, where we talk about business, economics, policy news, things of that nature, things of that distracting nature. Welcome to Moral Hazard. I'm your host, Stephen Fung. Welcome to 2026. In 2026... we've gone from a deterministic world where things cause other things and you can kind of maybe see it coming, or at least you can understand it in hindsight. That is gone. With 2026, we've done away with it. The world used to be like that, where things happen and you can kind of understand how they happen, and you can understand what the logical next steps would be. Since 2026, the world's turned on its head. We live in bizarro world, and nothing makes sense, all right? We go into a country, we blow them up, the United States and all their military might, where are all the missiles? We've used them all. Nothing works anymore. The United States spends billions of dollars on the defense, and it takes up such a huge amount of our budget, and then what do you do? We're running out of missiles. In one country, we're running out of missiles for no reason. First of all, we started it, didn't know how many missiles we had, ran out of missiles. And now we're playing catch up with a country that we said we were going to send back to the Stone Age. Things are difficult here. Things are difficult here in the United States of America. The unemployment rate is ticking. It's ticking. The unemployment rate for college grads, it's ticking, it's ticking. Delinquency rates on subprime loans, whether those are in auto or student loans, they're ticking. Things keep ticking and the world does not respond how it should, and you are confused. Well, we are here, Moral Hazard is here to maybe shed some light on this strange world we live in, where all this money is moving and it's going to data centers, but you can't get a job. What is the world coming to? We don't know either, but we're here to try and figure it out with you along the way, dear listener who can't put in input because this is a one-way communication stream. You're with us. You're one of us. You know, when you got to put that moral hazard pin on when you go to work, You got the little, it's like back when people used to put on pins for their candidate of choice back in the day. Walk around with the I'm with Dick pin for Richard Nixon. You know, we've got the Moral Hazard pin. I don't know what's, it says, I don't know what's going on. That's the Moral Hazard pin. You can go that you can take you can go it alone. You can go it alone. You can do without Moral Hazard. You can go and you can try and figure out this world for yourself. But will you? Will you? Will you truly understand what's happening? I doubt it. You need us. We, you need us. This is Munchausen by proxy. You need us. And if you, like your life without us, terrible. This is Munchausen by proxy. We are trying to help you. You are so lost. You are so lost. You sweet summer child. You have no idea what's going on. You have no idea what's going on. You're out of your mind. And we are here to help you. And we're here with you every Thursday, 10 p.m., unless I have something better to do. Because guess what? My life does not revolve around this show, all right? You know, I'm a senior. I'm a second semester senior. When I'm done, if you got 2 weeks, and I am gone. And I'm deleting the Instagram, and I'm abandoning the throne. And I'm not putting in a successor. People have asked me, will you find someone to take over the show? No, no. This thing's a flash in the pan. It dies with me. Would I rather watch it just shrivel and die in the hands of someone else who doesn't understand me, who doesn't get it? No. And would I rather give it to someone who understands me but will have to give it to someone else and they'll kill it? No, I'd rather be the one to kill it, you know? Call me Christy Noem. I've got to shoot my dog. Moral Hazard is my dog, and I'm shooting it. But yeah, Moral Hazard's here to talk to you about every week. Business news, markets, policy, more. This is not financial advice. I'm not a fiduciary. I'm not a registered fiduciary. I don't have any CFP. I don't have anything like that. If I tell you something, don't do it. Don't do it. Unless it's a really good idea. But you're free to listen. You're free to listen. You don't have to take, it's not financial advice. But you know, this is financial entertainment, okay? This is like how Fox News got away with that one court hearing, you know, the court ruling in like the 2010s. We're not news. This is not financial advice. This is entertainment. I'm getting sidetracked. We've been a little checked out the past week. I mean, past week we weren't here, so we missed a lot of the stuff that happened over the time. But you know, I want to talk about something near and dear to my heart right now, because I know we talk about policy, whatever, business. I want to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, and that's the UMD community. So, the last time I was up here, 2 weeks ago, I was talking about the SGA election. So that was still underway at the time that I talked about it. And it has since ended. It had just ended at the time I talked about it. And I just wanted to revisit it because a lot has transpired since I was here to talk about it, right? So last time, I was talking about the two candidates, the two tickets for the UMD SGA election. This is, for the most part, a largely fluff role, the UND president and the SGA in general. They can't do anything, right? They serve as a voice. They are the intermediaries between the students and the faculty. And if the faculty doesn't listen, then nothing happens. You know, forever. It's pretty much a lame duck role, right? If you say anything that the faculty doesn't want, well, they just won't do it, and then you can't. What are you gonna do? You can't do anything. They don't have to please you at the SGA. They can do whatever they want. And, you know, evidently, I'm not going to go into much detail about what's happened where they don't listen to the SGA, but I'll say they just don't listen. So, SGA elections have wrapped up. In the past 2 weeks, the SGA election committee has deliberated, and they have considered the conditions of both tickets, and last week they decided that Roel Terps, that was Peyton Steinberg's ticket, was disqualified. You might remember them from like the ridiculous, unserious campaigns that they held, where they actually didn't seem to believe in much, if anything, at all. And they failed. They failed to capture the ethos of the UMD populace, right? No one really cared. No one really saw them as a group worth voting for. I know like one person who was like, "Yeah, I kind of like them," and they were a single issue voter. Let's just put it at that. So World Trips was disqualified last week for ticket collusion and bad faith. And while I have insider information as to what the ticket collusion and bad faith entails, due to FERPA, I am not supposed to talk about it. So I won't. I won't. As far as I know, due to FERPA, I'm not allowed to talk about it. But let's just say World Trips was colluding on tickets in bad faith. And that's all I'll say. So World Terps was disqualified last week. This week, it has come to pass that Justice UMD, the only other party on the ticket, has been disqualified. And isn't that just remarkably silly? Isn't that just fun? Oh, let's go. I've got a new follower on Instagram. That's great. I don't know who this is. Both tickets have now been disqualified. Roll Terps for ticket collusion done in bad faith, and Justice UMD for campaigning prior to the start, or prior to the official start of campaigning, right? SGA has its own funny little rules. It's a bit of a closed game for elections, which is interesting. So, you know, they have like a start of campaigning, an official start, and then they don't let you. Oh, wait, hold on. Someone's listening to someone. We're listening to your show. And we want to talk about SGA. Wait, hold on. Wait. Let me respond to this. Anyways, so, you know, the election continues, or the election process continues now that both, hold on. Okay, yeah. All right, well, it looks like we have a special guest. Or special guests, it seems. There's multiple special guests. So, you know, Justice UMD, Roll Terps, disqualified. What happens next? We really don't know what happens next. This is pretty unprecedented, right? For both tickets on both candidates, for both tickets for the election to be disqualified, there is no one left. They have disqualified the ticket in its entirety, not individual candidates, but the entire ticket. And so there is a power vacuum left. So there is no chain of leadership for the future. And so, you know, it's going to be a bit rough is the issue. And, you know, the consideration is, you know, as a second semester senior, right, I don't actually have many horses in this race. But, you know, I know people who will be here next semester, right? And so, you know, there is a concern that, what's the world we're leaving for the children? Okay, and we need to figure out what's the world we're leaving for the children. That's the primary concern. And, you know, it's just, it's a damn darn shame. and, you know, because I really like the Justice UMD ticket. I'll put myself out there. You know, this is one of the few things I voted for that I was excited for. And, you know, it's a shame that they have been disqualified. It means that there's a bit more complications in figuring out who is next up to lead. The very least I can hope is that, you know, someone very capable will be able to fill the important roles that we have here at the SGA, and that the SGA can be led into prosperity, can be held up into prosperity in the future. But yeah, I just wanted to cover that. Both of them appealed, both of them got denied. Anyways, we'll get back to that once it seems like our special guests, plural, arrive. I want to talk about our UMD alum of the week. And I know you guys know what's coming. You know, you've done Alum of the Week for so many weeks. But yeah, I've got a really special Alum of the Week this week for Moral Hazard. And that very special, the very special Alum of the Week is Tom McMillan. Tom McMillan. Tom McMillan was the subject of one of the referendums for the SGA election. It's the call for its resignation. Tom McMillan is a former basketball player, NBA basketball player, former businessman. He's also a current UMD regent, which is effectively the board of directors for the university system. Tom McMillan, regrettably, was in the Epstein files, and pretty prominently is prominently in the Epstein files. He's also like kind of creepy looking in the Epstein files. There's this very famous picture of Tom McMillan and Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein in the same photo, where it's, you know, Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein are in the foreground, it's focused, and then Tom McMillan's kind of standing off looking at them in the background, very like a little blurry, but it's definitely him. Like, it's confirmed it's him. He's in the Epstein files, and look, there are a lot of people in the Epstein files. I'm not going to say just because you're in the Epstein files, you are guilty of something, right? It's not guilt by association. Just because he has emailed Jeffrey Epstein and he has gone to his parties in New York and he's hung out with him and he's in these pictures with other prominently involved members of the Epstein, individuals in the Epstein files, doesn't mean he's guilty of anything. Doesn't mean it. But I will say, Tom McMillan, he's made no statement about his involvement in the Epstein files. He was asked about it in an interview for some podcast, and he said, next question. I think, as effectively a public official, right, you are the board of directors for the University of Maryland. It's a public university. There are 50,000 students here, and they all demand closure. We all demand a statement. We all demand something, an explanation. He has provided none of it. I will give credit to Bill Gates. Bill Gates is in the Epstein files. He was first out to talk about, like, to try and clear his name on that. Tom McMillan, where's the cleared name? Where's the clear name? You are not. And guess what? Bill Gates is not the CEO of Microsoft. He's not the CEO of Microsoft. Tom McMillan's on the board of the University of Maryland, a public university, and he won't have any accountability. He's a former senator. The people need to hear something. We need to hear something, anything. I'm going to call in on a guest right now. Today we're doing a call-in episode, and we're going to ask about Tom McMillan. All right, I'm just going to call a random person, and they're going to talk to us about Tom McMillan or something. I don't know. Hello. Hi. This is Moral Hazard on WMEC 90.5. We're calling in to see if you had any statements.
On what?
What are you wearing?
What am I wearing?
No. We did. No. Not what are you wearing?
This is offensive.
No, it's not offensive. Look, you're a UMD student.
Yes.
You're a former co-host of Moral Hazard.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of Tom McMillan, the basketball player?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and what are your thoughts on Tom McMillan?
You know, I think he's a great guy. No, I think that I haven't heard nearly enough from or about him, considering how much I know of his relation to Epstein.
Right. I feel like we should get to know him more, if he's so famous.
Well, that's the thing. I'm just curious about the man, more than anything. He was on, I know he, I voted for the, on the ticket, on the ballot, for his resignation, which I heard did not pass. I might have been misinformed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But,
of course.
I had heard that did not pass, which honestly surprised me a little bit. But I think it maybe other people are also finding that same want for information that I am. All in all, though, you know, it is a shame when such a great and wonderful human being is just absolutely poisoned by one little tiny mistake they made.
I don't know if it was a mistake. You know, it could have been, like, a very intelligent move.
Nope, it was a mistake, Steven, and we have to stick to that.
Okay. It was a set of continuous mistakes.
It was a series very well thought out intentional mistakes that were made.
Well, you know what? Some people, I'll close out with this, right?
Yeah.
Some people go through their lives, you know, we learn, we make mistakes, and we learn, and we grow, and we become better people. And some of us make the same mistake over and over again.
And don't those people deserve another chance?
And all the chances. I'm a Catholic, so.
Chance.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. We're going to tell this to...
Like
we're going to send this to Tom McMillan. Thank you. Thank you. Emma Newkirk, everyone. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. And that we're going to go and do a PSA, and then we'll hopefully be joined by two quick guest speakers. All right. This is Moral Hazard. Here's a PSA on workout.
University of Maryland is one of the 50 fittest colleges in America. Our state-of-the-art Epley Recreation Center, School of Public Health, Ritchie Coliseum, and Cole Fieldhouse have a number of resources that help keep Terps happy, active, and healthy. Join the daily group fitness workouts, request a personal trainer, or own your independence and build your own training plan. Exercise can improve muscle strength and boost your endurance and confidence. Feel better and live longer.
My apologies, we're going through some administrative issues right now. Okay. All right, well, we've got some guests here on the show. Oh, perfect. All right. We've got some guests here on the show. And they are going to talk about, what, SGA? Introduce yourselves, people.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kylie, and
I'm Issa.
And we were just tuning in, and we wanted to talk a little bit about just the UMD community and just the vibes here in general, and just to say hi.
Yeah, couple members of the WMUC community. I know we've got a couple listeners on right now. Okay, look, so you messaged me about the SGA.
Mm.
Did you vote in the election?
I did not.
You did not vote. Did you vote?
No.
Didn't vote. You didn't vote in the election. Well, were you aware of the candidates?
Actually, honestly, the transparency of, like, who the candidates were and getting information about that wasn't...
Can you come in a little closer? I don't think it's picking you up.
Wasn't completely clear to me. Honestly, I've never really been informed about the SGA and the that kind of community at UMD, but it's always something I've had a lot of questions about.
Oh, good Lord. You guys are people under rocks, huh?
A little bit.
Are you sophomores, freshmen,
you know what?
Juniors?
I'm a senior in
You're
my
a
last
senior,
semester.
And you don't know about the SGA.
Unfortunately, no. I've heard of some shady things, actually.
Well, I wouldn't say shady. I think they're doing their best. But all right, so, what are your thoughts on it? If you don't know much about them, what are your thoughts?
I fear they don't have too much power. I fear that it was the same in the high school where it's like you have that kind of qualification, the good resume, everything that you need in order to get into a position that's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't really do anything once you get there.
Right.
Which is really disappointing because I know how much work they put in to, like, get elected, gain publicity, get known.
Yes.
And
well,
then you can't do much.
Well, you know what I will say is that when the SGA doesn't have a good relationship with the school, you know, there are some blowback effects on the school, right? Columbia. Right,
okay.
they had the block in that was last year, and certainly that got a lot of publicity, and you know people would be less likely to send their kids to Columbia because of the connotation, right?
Absolutely,
is that they don't get along. There's like too much chaos going on, and you know it hurts me as a Vampire Weekend listener. You know I love Columbia University for what the brilliant people they put out, but you know there is some effect.
Mm.
There is some effect, but okay. So are you also a second semester senior?
I'm a second semester junior.
Second semester junior, okay.
You have more time than I do to get informed.
I do.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I do live under a rock a little bit.
Well, you know, it's okay. Well, it might be a little too late to get informed, right? Because, you know, next year you're a senior and then your vote doesn't matter anymore.
True.
Right? But, I mean, you still get to vote. look, you guys are you're a last semester senior.
It was more of a free will sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Wondering if a show would host us just to have a chat about the community.
Yeah, well, so as members of the UND community,
yeah.
If you're not, you know, politically involved or anything to that extent, well then, how do you engage with the community besides, you know, WMUC?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm specifically involved with the art community here at Maryland.
Are you an art history major?
No,
major?
I'm a design student, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think another member of the WMUC is also a design student that I am, that's like under me in the younger grade. I would say just being in the art community, I've been in, you know, like poetry club. I've just generally been in the art sphere,
mm-hmm.
Talking to younger students, helping to design work. I've been wherever really... Excuse me, sorry. Wherever people generally have needed me to do design stuff. Actually, just tonight, and this is, if you'd let me have this to say to people,
yeah.
Go see the art show in the Merrill Gallery in the art building on the bottom floor. It is amazing, and the honor students have put in so much.
When is that?
So it opened tonight, but it's open just the regular hours that the art building is open.
Mm-hmm.
The honor students have put in so much amazing work into that, and I think that needs to be broadcasted more because I feel like a lot of people don't know that there's even a gallery in the art building for these honor students.
Okay, and where can people find more information about this?
Yeah, they can go just generally... You can use Google. You can look it up online. You can mm-hmm. you can go on the RHU website. There's information all over social media.
And what's the name of the exhibition again, then?
I believe the name of the exhibition... excuse me. I'm sorry that I can't even remember it, but I think it was called 1159.
1159. Okay.
Which I'm going to double check on that because I don't want to spread false information.
Go for it. Could you grab the water bottle out of that backpack? Sorry, not to put you on a chore, but I am, like, parched right now. It should
it
be in the side pocket.
Hot in here.
It is disgustingly hot. There should have been AC. I am fuming.
Wait 1 second.
Thank you. Yes.
As far as community for me, I was in a cappella for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Just left. Love it all, but time commitment was a little much. Shout out Faux Pop. Go see their spring show.
Mm-hmm. What's it called? Faux Pop?
Faux Pas.
Okay,
yes.
Got you.
Yes, loved a cappella. In the ski club right now, if you're not in the ski club.
Ski club.
Totally recommend.
Where do you guys ski? Is that like Deep Creek?
So we went to Canada over
Canada?
Winter break.
Mm-hmm. Holy mm-hmm.
180
Christ.
Of us went. And then there's a trip to, or there was a trip to Vermont. I did not go to that.
Mm.
But I went last year and it was awesome.
Yeah.
So definitely recommend. 1, 2, 3, I like to ski, Insta.
1, 2, 3, I like to ski.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Look, I we do business news here, right?
Mm,
so,
right.
You know, a lot of our listeners, very affluent. They're like Aspen people, right?
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, maybe they'll be interested in this. You know, we have a sailing club here.
They should be interested in art, too, because a lot of the art is for sale as well.
Sale? Oh, the art is for sale. Because I thought,
me,
okay, yes.
Yes, it was called 1159.
1159, can I see that?
Honors Art Exhibition.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the art there is incredible, and the students are more than deserving of having their work publicized.
So. That's pretty cool. So, you know, you are wrapping up your senior year.
I am.
Do you, like, where do you go from here? We talk about this a lot of moral hazard. Is the college graduate unemployment rate is climbing. Jobs are not being added.
Right?
Huh?
It's 20%.
Those are unofficial. Official numbers but are from, like, February, and they're, like, it's 6% around.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
6%
unemployment rate. But that's from people ages 22 to 27.
Gotcha.
There might be a number around that for, like, immediate college mm-hmm. graduates, but it's looking around, I hope you guys aren't under student loans. Student loan delinquency rates are around 16% right now, climbing to, I think an unofficial number came out, it's like 25% are delinquent. It's tough right now. It's tough right now.
Bad times, yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, look. You know, we've got to call in some people, but if you want to plug your social media, you want to plug anything?
Isabel.Ortiz_.
My art account is at Kylie Eliana Draws. It's very silly.
Oh, you draw? You draw? Can I pull it up right now?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, I can't.
No.
Okay,
maybe later. I'll follow
okay,
you.
Okay. Was it Kylie_Draws?
No, Kylie Eliana Draws. Just one
Kylie word. Kylie Eliana Draws,
again,
one word.
So
all right. Yeah. Thank you for making your statements.
Nice
Kylie
to meet you.
And then Issa. Nice to meet
Thanks
you guys.
For entertaining us. I'm
Absolutely.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Have
Thank
a good
you
one.
So
Bye.
Take care.
Okay, and then we have another plug. Emma Newkirk would like to plug the Pressley Forum for the collab. Wait, hold on. Pressley Forum, the first Wednesday of May in the Collaboratory. That's in the Art History. That's in the RHU building on UMD. Pressley Forum, P-R-E-S-S-L-E-Y Forum. They're talking about reclaiming Lakeland. You know, the place that got built over and they made a lake on it or whatever. I don't remember exactly what it is. All right, we're gonna call in to another dearest listener. And then we're gonna hold on. Let's call into another dear listener. But we got to change the topic. You know, we already talked about the UMD community. We talked about who else? We talked about someone else. We talked about Tom McMillan. We talked about SGA. Here's what I want to talk about. You know what? I'm getting mad. Okay, I'm getting actually, frankly, a little upset because Allbirds, the stock, the shoe company, no one even wears it, is making everyone, making me lose my faith in the stock market. So, you know what, I got a very intelligent person I'm going to call for this matter, that is, oh goodness, hold on. Wait, let me go, oh no. Justin, my IBH mentee on the Business Honors Program, Justin's going to make a statement, or he might not, because he actually might be busy. Immediately to voicemail?
Thank you.
Immediately to voicemail? Wow. And you know what? Now your voicemail is everywhere. Justin! you know what? I'm gonna call him back. Justin. Hello.
Hello. You've reached.
No. All right. You know what? I don't. Oh, he's calling back. Justin.
Hello?
No.
Justin, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Justin, wait, look, I understand you're a freshman here at UMD and you've got a DCF model to make, but I've got a very important question to you. Are you invested in $Bird on the New York Stock Exchange?
Unfortunately, I'm not, but my portfolio right now is currently 83% NVIDIA.
83% NVIDIA. How are you faring? How long is it? Is it not long enough to reap the rewards, or are you having fun with NVIDIA right now?
Just having fun with it, man. Like, I'm gonna be honest, that was not of my own volition. My parent did that. I don't know why they did that, but it's currently faring pretty well.
Do your parents work at NVIDIA, or are they just, they're insane for AI?
They're just like, hey, if the whole entire stock market's gonna crash, you know, yeah, might as well just go all in.
Well, look, I'll tell you this: if the whole stock market's gonna crash, you should probably be invested in Allbirds, the shoe company, and the AI company.
Yeah, I did see, you know, it went up around like 400%.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's actually wonderful because 3 days ago they were at $2.50, and then they were at $22, and now they're at $11. So we're ranging, you know? Some people lose it all, some people gain it all.
Yeah. I think making a DCF for this would be quite hard.
What are you making a DCF for right now?
Oh, right now, Hasbro.
Hasbro? How are they doing?
Yeah. Very, very average. I mean,
what's their free cash flow looking like? Or you haven't gotten there?
Free cash flow, looking like $538 million for 2025. I'm forecasting, how much growth is this? I don't even know.
All right.
By 2035, I estimate like $635 million. So.
Oh, so you're bullish on the stock semi?
I haven't even. No, actually, my implied share price is actually lower than the current share price. So.
Oh, so you're gonna wait? So are you giving financial advice that everyone should short Hasbro right now?
I wouldn't go as far as that. I mean, if you want to trust the financial advice, 18-year-old, you know, be my guess.
Well, you know what, Justin, I'll leave you to the DCF. We've got another person in the studio right now, but you know, we'll take your tip on Hasbro. Thank you. Have a good night.
Yeah, Yes, you too. Bye.
Bye. All right.
What the heck is up, dude?
Aaron, yeah, do you want to make a statement on something tonight?
I would like to. I love making statements. I'll make a statement.
All right, introduce yourself.
What's up, everyone? My name's Aaron. I'm a student at UMD. What do you want, man? What do you want?
Look, we've been...
Does this mic work?
No, nothing here works. Don't trust anything but this mic.
Okay.
All right, so we've been talking about the SGA election.
Okay.
We've been talking about Tom McMillan. We've been talking about the undergraduate unemployment rate after graduation.
Holy shit.
And we've been talking a little bit about stocks, but, you know, we'd like to keep it on UMD community. We can talk about anything, though.
UMD community, I mean, I've only had 2 years here because I transferred, but it's been an interesting experience for sure. I mean,
yeah,
the bars are crazy.
Were you just come back from it or
no? I was at a Latin dance night. I was salsaing with some.
You were salsaing.
I was salsaing
with some honeys.
With some honeys.
Wow, with some honeys.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Hey, well, look, you know, you transferred. You've been here 2 years. I was community college before.
Yeah.
What absolutely. Was it jarring? Did you enjoy
it
the switch?
It was definitely jarring. I had to adjust to living alone, you know.
Mm.
But you were talking about SGA elections.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
What were you guys?
So I mean, I'm sure you've seen right there the two parties, Roll Terps, Justice UMD, both disqualified from the election cycle.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, both of them.
How?
So Roll Terps, ticket collusion. Can't say, I do know what happened, but I can't say because of FERPA, but it was ticket collusion and bad faith. They were disqualified last week. This week, Justice UMD disqualified for early campaigning. And both of their appeals have been denied. So we don't even know what's going to happen next.
Do we don't know what happened with World Terps, or we do? We just can't say.
Oh, the public doesn't know. Some people know. I can tell you after.
Okay, bad.
Yeah, but. So, you know, there's like a power vacuum being left. And, you know, we're seniors. When we're gone, we're gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, we gotta look out for the next generation.
So my general impression, unfortunately, of SGA, I don't know, I went to one meeting or something to talk about divestment. You know, that was a big thing they were trying to do. And the big impression I had is that they don't have a lot of power. I mean, honestly.
Sorry. We technically can't. Cursing, so
what?
Technically can't allow cursing.
Oh,
so
I had to
press it again.
Oh.
No, you're good. You're good.
Oh, okay. Sorry for cursing, guy.
No, you're
cursed.
All right, man.
Yeah, my general impression of SGA is that they have no power.
Right.
Or essentially next to zero power.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, call it confirmation bias, but me hearing that Justice UMD got, hold on, let me get this straight. They got disqualified for early campaigning?
Right. What is that? That's such a strange
that
rule.
Sounds like the most bureaucratic thing
it is.
I've ever
we've got like a closed game when it comes to elections here at UMD.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, they were campaigning like, I think it was like a week before elections.
Oh my God.
And so they got a warning and then they got disqualified because
you can't campaign a week before elections? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
How do you convince people to vote for you, bro?
No, sorry, a week before. Before like the election cycle started officially.
Oh.
Yeah.
What that doesn't exist. Like,
what even
just,
counts as campaigning? Like
so
telling someone, like,
yeah,
hey, I think I'm gonna run. Would you
right,
vote for
exactly.
Me? Yeah, it's like, that's not.
Where do we draw the line? That's
it's ridiculous, but like,
what
I don't
the
like.
Hell?
It's to your point. They can't do anything.
They can't. They don't really do anything.
Right, but like I was saying this with the last dude. Like, it's been so like two people walked in here to give their statement as well, right before you.
Okay.
But like there is a little bit of power, right? It's
absolutely.
Like signal power. Like
I know there is.
Right.
And I think if you're gonna have an SGA, one of the most powerful ways an SGA can operate is by organizing the students around certain ideas, right?
Right.
Because the students have a lot more power together than we think we do.
Right.
But I think in terms of the actual processes surrounding what actually goes on at UMD,
mm-hmm.
SGA doesn't do anything for the most part that what I've seen. I mean, and I'm not trashing on the people that join SGA.
Well,
it's like,
just they can't do
they just
much,
can't do
right?
anything with the
They're
system.
Doing what they can. And I mean, like, if you look at a school like Columbia, right? Their SGA can't do anything. Their students can't do anything. But the fact that they are not getting along with the university
is a very...
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, that is.
Who's going
powerful.
To send their kids to Columbia when they're barricading themselves, yeah. right? You know? So, anyways, thank you for coming on, yeah, Aaron. Man. Thank you for giving your say. You have any... You want to shout out? You want to plug anything?
Yeah, let me plug my blog.
Oh, yeah.
It's Sorak Says. That's SoRakSays.blog. I talk a lot about issues like this. I mean, not really about UMD specific issues, but I talk a lot about kind of the bureaucratic type of stuff that a lot of the politicians go through.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just like talking about the environment and stuff. So I'd really appreciate if the listeners would try to sign up for that. That'd be awesome, dude. That'd be so freaking cool.
Yeah.
But thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You know, Sophia's getting a show. Kozakova?
Sophie, I don't know. There we go. Okay.
No, yeah, but yeah, she's getting a show too. It's pretty funny. That's like, you know, a couple people.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyways, thanks for showing up, man. Thanks for showing up.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. See ya. Yeah. All right. Well, we've gotten another statement on another. This is crazy. This is like the Marvel's collab. You know. Hey. Justin's just shown me, what is this, his portfolio. Oh my goodness. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. Congratulations on the portfolio, Justin. You know, we're rooting for you. And we wish you all the best. Let me call up another person. You know what, can I present another topic, please, before I... Geopolitics, geopolitics, all right? Mark Carney of Canada, the Liberal Party, Mark Carney's Liberal Party in Canada, has consolidated a majority government in the most recent election cycle. So, you know, there's been a rally around Canada's Mark Carney in regards to just beefing up against the United States, and they have a now unified front against the Trump administration and the bullying and the pressure, which may spell out some bad times for the United States post midterms. There is an open question as to what the United States is going to look like after these midterm elections are complete. Democrats are doing very well in the election cycles as they are going currently. And if Trump is made to be a lame duck in his second term, if Trump is made to be a lame duck in the second half of his term, then, you know, as far as the United States' ability to act, there might be some very serious issues if we are in Iran and there is not a consensus about what we should do. If we are feuding with Canada, one of our closest neighbors, and that we have no connection between the brain and the muscle to act and to resolve this in a quick manner, this may spell poorly for the United States. If we fail to uphold our end of the bargain in being the security force for the Middle East, things may be bad. Another election has passed this past week, and that was Viktor Orban's race for re-election. He has failed it. Hungary's Viktor Orban, the alt-right Viktor Orban, will now be replaced by Magyar from a more liberal side of the government. Things do not look good. Things do not seem great for the MAGA coalition, the Board of Peace. Hungary was a member of the Board of Peace under Viktor Orban. The nationalist Viktor Orban has been dethroned despite his backing from President Trump and President Putin. Peter Magyar is now taking up the reins on a very populist, semi-socialist agenda of improving the cost of living for the normal Hungarian. And to take down Orban's, 16-year rule. And it's interesting, Magyar is actually pretty young. He's only 45 years old. it is going to be tough to see what happens to Hungary in the coming years. It seems that he has some very strong desires to push Hungary towards the European mainstream and to do away with the MAGA influence. It will be seen what happens with, you know, there have been a lot of upsets regarding, you know, these sort of alt-right leaders Brazil's president, and then now Hungary. The question is, like, how long does this coalition remain? Under the force of democracy, it seems to fall apart. Time will tell if this trend continues in the midterms. I would like to call on another person to give a statement. You know, he could give a statement about whatever, but I'm going to call up Sam.
Hello?
Hello, Sam, you're on air.
Oh my God, is this my favorite radio show? Well,
I mean, it's your only radio show, but I appreciate it. You know, we got to get you away from podcasts. We got to get you on radio, man. Now that's the pure lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm often told that I have a face for radio. So
yeah, I was told that in high school by my econ professor or my econ teacher. He said I had a face for radio. Look, Sam, I'll cut to the chase. All right, no cursing. I've had to dump the audio twice now because of cursing. Do you have any thoughts on Viktor Orban or Canada or the midterms? Or would you like to talk about UMD?
Let's keep it local.
Let's keep it local? All right. Have you been following this SGA election?
You talking about the election with the big tie kid?
With the with the ludicrously long tie. Yeah, that was... Peyton Steinberg of Roll Terps. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of see your thoughts on both parties being disqualified as a senior. You know, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, honestly, I feel like as a student, students have not been heard for a long time. They're not focused on the issues the students are worried about. Like, we're worried about lice in McKeldin. We're worried about no AC in McKeldin. We're worried about no alcohol being sold at grocery stores.
Right, like, yeah. I'm worried about no alcohol being served in the dining halls.
That's a great point, you know.
Yeah.
I've been one to frequent Europe, and at the dining halls there, they always have beer and wine.
Yeah, and you know, people thought I was joking when I said that the dining halls should have beer, but, you know, you can just look at Europe. They've got it so good right there. They don't do work, yeah, but they sure do have alcohol in their dining halls.
Well, I would love to ask them about that. I'd call some of my European friends, but it's Thursday night, so they won't be available till Monday morning.
Right, because it's probably on Friday where they are.
Yeah, and Friday's.
Yeah, and Friday's not. Yeah, you know, they don't. They only have a 3-day work week, anyways.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. As we say in France, vendredi c'est le nouveau samedi.
Yeah, I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, Sam, you know, you don't have siblings coming in to, you know, be UMD students, but does it concern you at all, like, what is happening to this school that you love?
A little bit. I know I've shared my sentiments in the past about this, but I'm very concerned about the architecture. I feel like we're just going in this direction of, like, shoebox architecture, except covered all in glass, and that's the new face of UMD.
Oh, so you're an anti-Idea Factory guy? You didn't like the Idea Factory? You don't like Zupnik?
Okay, those are two different conversations, first.
Okay.
I think when we talk about the Idea Factory, look, it's a beautiful piece of art. However, It just doesn't belong. It's out of place, and it sticks out like a sore thumb when that's the only building you have like that.
Right.
I think there is an argument to be had that kind of architecture belongs on campus, but maybe let's just keep it like separate. Like, it can still be like equally used, but, you know, just keep it separate.
Okay. I mean, it is separate. It's in the engineering quadrant. They don't take tours there.
That's true. Well, maybe like separate but equal. We'll give them tours.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Nope. You've said enough. Thank you, Sam. Look, I've got one last question for you. I've got one last question for you, Sam. Do you have anything you would like to plug? Any clubs, any social media, anything?
Yeah, thank you. So I'm actually the president of the French language organization, and I don't know if we have any French-speaking listeners tonight, but attendance has been a little down. So if you are learning French and want to practice somewhere, please come out. We're meeting right now Tuesdays at 6 p.m. at the St. Mary's Hall. So
yeah, and you know, it's very important to learn French. People really underestimate the importance of French. The Air Canada CEO was forced to resign 2 weeks ago because he didn't know any French. And that is not a joke.
That is quite the segue, Stephen.
It's not a joke. That was real. Anyways, yeah, thank you, Sam. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you for your call. It's an honor.
Yes, and you know, separate but equal. We'll keep that in mind. Thank you. Bye. yep, and we got, and you know, it's been a great episode of Moral Hazard. How many people have given statements on things? Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 people. That's 6 people. That's a record. We haven't even had 6 people in the studio. But yeah. Look, it is sweltering hot right now. It is 90 degrees and sunny. If the sun was out, it would be sunny. There's no clouds out right now. But look. Stay cool, stay comfortable, and chill out. Chill out. You guys gotta chill out. There's nothing worse than being upset and being sad and being angry when it's so beautiful outside. I'm angry here in this room because I am in a closed space that is hotter than the outside environment, and I don't have AC, and I have the door open and 2 fans blasting in here, and I still feel like I'm getting heat stroke, but that's fine. That's fine. The world will live. I will live. Probably not. I mean, I can fit. Like, I had to get someone to fetch me my water. Like it's the Devil Wears Prada. I was like, assistant, bring me my water. Look, we got a lot of concerns about the UMD community. I haven't got to talk about anything that's happening in the real world. Yes, Hungary, Viktor Orban, gone. Mark Carney, he's big. He's back. You remember him at the at Davos. He got up and he gave this very inspirational speech, told the world to turn against Donald Trump, and we are seeing it. Keir Starmer is not backing Iran. Spain is not backing Iran. No one is backing Iran. The United States is losing out on its key allies. They have strained their relationship, playing these stupid games, winning these stupid prizes with this whole thing about Greenland. They have lost everything. We have no friends anymore. The Board of Peace is the nation's 30 most loser countries who have nothing. All right, there's a couple. There's oil. There's the Middle Eastern, the oil security customers, and just a bunch of losers. There is a big problem with the United States foreign policy going forward, and the United States is really going to have to consider what matters most to it, and it's. What people want to think is that the United States is intelligently changing who its allies are because Europe is not helping them. Well, guess what? Europe was helping. Europe was helping in a big way. When 9/11 happened, Europe was there. For better or for worse, they were there to help the United States. They have carried the United States by the jockstrap through the 2000s. And we've pushed them perhaps a bit too far. And, you know, time will tell what happens to the world going forward. It seems that the United States has fewer and fewer friends as the days go by. It's hard to tell in the next election cycle how things will be repaired or if we just keep going down this path of, hanging out with the weird table at lunch. But, you know, we'll see. And, you know, I just want to go back to Allbirds. Come on, dude. This is a shoe company. No one wore these shoes. They were a failing company. And again, I would like to thank all the people who have come on thus far. I would like to thank... I would like to thank... Kylie Eliana draws. I would like to thank Issa. I would like to thank Sam. I would like to thank Justin. I would like to thank Emma. I would like to thank Aaron for all giving, just contributing a little bit to this episode that I was so checked out for at the beginning. But now I'm kind of into it, you know? This was like the Infinity War of Moral Hazard episodes. We got everyone in here to talk about something that matters to them. Or doesn't matter. Sometimes it's things that don't matter. But, you know, we do that sometimes. So Allbirds Shoe Company, they were days from shutting their operations, and then they said they were going to pivot to AI. This was from, so they had a market cap around, I think, $40 million or something like that. They got an investment of $4 million on the contingency that they pivot to AI, and then there was a, you know, provided certain performance, there was another contingent investment of around $40 million, or something to that extent, ballpark. Allbirds has nothing to do with AI. Allbirds cannot do anything with AI. There is nothing they can do to make money off AI that any other startup couldn't do already. Here's the truth, all right? Their weighted average cost of capital is going to be through the roof. They won't be able to do anything with efficacy. The DCF model fails. Time and time again, the DCF model fails. If you wanted a company to come and do AI, you would get a startup to do it. You wouldn't get a company that's already saddled with debt and missed payments and overhead that can't effectively pivot like this. It's just not going to work. Allbirds, here's my statement right now. In a perfectly efficient market, Allbirds gone. Allbirds was gone last month. We live in a time, a very strange time, that has turned the stock market into a game of rule change and manipulation, and that's the truth of it. There is in a good market, in a well-regulated market, an effective market, you know, the kind that makes Adam Smith drool. Polymarket, Kalshi, Allbirds, AMC, GameStop would not exist. They wouldn't, AMC maybe. But with there is just so much foul play to be had, and there are just so many regulators that are checked out that aren't playing the game right. And you know, I want to take a step back, and I want to say that Kalshi and Polymarket play an important role. They were proposed by the U.S. government as the prediction markets were proposed by the U.S. government as a way to open source intelligence by effectively rewarding insider information on all sorts of contracts. And that's what is happening with Kalshi and Polymarket. Here's the issue. The advertisement of it to lay people, first of all, terrible idea. The gray hat, skirting of regulations, this is not how you do things. This is not how you should operate. Startups need to be curtailed in the way that they skirt around regulations. There need to be more cops on this. The FTC needs to be doing their job. The SEC needs to be doing their job. And the Department of Commerce needs to be doing their job to make sure that these mistakes aren't happening, but they're happening and no one seems to care. And people are going to lose money, and people are going to go broke, and kids are going to get addicted to prediction markets that aren't properly regulated. And I mean, even for the United States, if you're open sourcing intelligence through these prediction markets, the United States intelligence community is open sourcing information through these prediction markets. Well, they're also open sourcing their own information to other countries. That is a terrible, terrible way to go about this. And for that, you know, I gotta say, we're going down probably a bad path, but, you know, I thank all the people who, allowed me to call into them, and I thank all the people who showed up at the studio to kind of give their thoughts on things. We're coming down to the wire. This has been Moral Hazard. We've only got a couple episodes left, but I hope you enjoyed this one. This is a very special one to me, as a graduating senior, to kind of have this Infinity War moment where a bunch of people show up to talk about things. Well, I hope you have a great day, and, you know, keep on rocking in the free world, man. You still got to get your wage. You still have to get your paycheck. You know, you can't affect anything anyways. So just watch what happens and then complain on Twitter. Have a good one, guys. This has been Moral Hazard. You're listening to WBCFM College Park 90.5. Love you. Bye.